Gardener with Larry Glass. The Green Country Gardener is brought to you by Green Thumb Nursery, Jensen Tractor Ranch, Peter's True Value, United Rentals, Overlees Woods Lumber Company, ABS Performance, LPL Painting Company, also Gross Fine Woodworks. Sharpen your shovels, it's time for the Green Country Gardener.
And yes, it is time for the Green Country Gardener on your airwaves on this Saturday morning. Hopefully, you're staying warm this morning, and hopefully your morning is going well so far. I'm Garrett Giles, the Double G, and joining me on this Saturday morning is the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass. If you have any gardening questions for him, feel free to call us at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Larry?
Good morning.
How are you?
Garrett, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, golly. Nice change of season we've had.
Yeah, it's
from one to the other.
And of course, as we were kind of talking before the show started, it looks like it's going to keep changing with some potential of some
freezy skin
coming.
Stuff
yeah,
coming.
It's
all
coming.
Right.
The freeze is on.
Jeez. What's the matter with you guys?
Yeah.
That's just in time for Halloween.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking of Halloween, that's coming up pretty soon. And make sure your garden hose is put away and all the little tripping hazards are taken care of too, so the little clowns and devils don't fall over in your yard.
Yeah, that'd be bad if that happened.
Yeah, that's the one thing I remind people of every year is to sticks and stones and hoses and carts and things need to be cleared off the yard to make it a clear line of sight for the kids.
A hurt child would be the scariest thing on Halloween.
Oh, yeah, you don't want that happening in your front yard.
Yeah.
So anyway, so make sure that's all done up. And irrigation systems, I don't think we're going to need them anymore this year, so you might consider having it winterized. It's a rather simple process, if it was done by code. There are some that aren't, but anyway.
Right.
We
hope that most of them are.
But. Yeah, most of them should be, but anyway, you need to think about having that done. It's typically a very simple process. Mm-hmm. There's a backflow preventer,
okay,
which is required by code, and it itself is drained, and then the line leading to it typically is drained with a drainage valve kind of close to the meter by the shutoff valve, close to the meter.
Right.
And then everything downhill from that should be pretty well on its own. You know, the sprinkler system, if you don't know where your drain is on the downhill side, and this is pretty common, you just let the irrigation system run for a while, and then the little valve will open, and the water will seep out and get the water out of the downside of the backflow preventer. So you might want to run your timer for a few days on a regular schedule. Don't overdo it. The solenoids on the valves are water-cooled. So, and it's 24 volts going through those little things, and they could get overheated. So you want to make sure that perhaps if you don't know how to drain it downhill, you might want to just let your sprinkler system run without water for a couple days, and then shut off the meter. Another thing you can do is, this is for all your mechanical guys, is you can connect an air compressor to the exit port of the backflow preventer and pressurize it. And the electric valves will actually work with air just as well as they do with water. It's interesting how that works. It's just physics between the two, one side of the diaphragm, and it'll blow out the sprinkler lines. But usually we don't have to worry about blowing out sprinklers in our climate. It doesn't get cold enough, really, in the wintertime, typically. But anyway, so winterizing is a very important thing to do. And also, I kind of like to do a test before you winterize. That is, you run through it, hit the test program on your timer. Not all of them have it, but some of them do, or just run through them and have somebody follow through in the yard, you know, from the front to the back, and make sure everything's working okay.
Okay.
So you know what to expect in the spring when you turn it back on. Because sometimes you find something broken you didn't know about.
Surprise, now you got to fix it.
Exactly. So, golly, we've run into some this summer, golly, even buried sprinkler heads with roots over them.
Ugh.
And they don't pop up, and that people are just not aware of that sometimes. And so
that could be a problem.
So people say, hey, there's something wrong with it. Come check it out. So I'll turn it on, and get a shovel or a pocket knife and cut it, and it'll just pop up and run. So,
right.
So you got to kind of check it now and then. That's the point I'm making. You really do need to inspect your sprinkler system now and then, because water is kind of expensive.
Yeah, it goes back to the maintenance thing.
A leak can cost you a lot of water. So.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's it. Kind of what to do in the fall with sprinkler systems with your trees and your plants. They're pretty much on their own. They know what to do. That's why they turn red. Mm-hmm. So they know what's coming.
Yeah. Fall's here.
And so far, we're having some really good color on the trees. I'm very pleased with the maple trees. Mm-hmm. Really putting on a really good show. And hopefully you guys will keep the weather a little bit under control this week so they don't wind up in Lenapa, you know, all of our pretty colored leaves.
Yeah, I'm going to do my best to help you out with that just because, like, I'm not looking forward really to the wintry mix that's expected.
No. So they will tend to abscess in a really, really cold snap. And I don't, mm-hmm. looking at the weather forecast, I don't see a real cold snap mm-hmm. per se coming in. Cold snap being like in the 20s or something.
Right.
So I think we'll be okay as far as the leaf color and the leaf sting on the trees a little bit, at least long enough to get the camera out and take a picture.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I noticed some of the trees are still kind of staying a little green. You know why that is? It's just not getting cool enough.
It depends on the species. Some of them are a little bit later than others. Okay. Your oak trees typically change color a little bit later.
Okay.
And the weather, it has been warm up until now, and it takes a little while for this reaction, these cyanothins in the leaves change color and so on. So it takes a little while for that to happen. And typically the color is enhanced by a cooler weather, which we have had. So the trees are starting to change, and you look out the window and say, oh, there's a red one over there, you know, and so on. You can see them out there. So I think we're going to have a pretty good fall color this year, even on some of the plants that don't tend to turn colors very much. Your pin oaks, for instance, and your shumarta sometimes don't shift like that. Right. So I think we're going to have some pretty good show this year. Mainly because of this cooler weather we're having this week in conjunction with the season. It's all coming together to maybe make a pretty nice color show this fall.
Yes, sir.
So I can't wait for that.
I can't wait for it either, honestly. I'm ready for the leaves to keep changing. I think I saw one tree the other day that almost turned like a purplish-red color, and it was, like, really pretty. I can't remember. Maybe it was an oak, but, mm-hmm. yeah. Just saw it in passing the other day.
Okay. And, if you want a tree that changes color, it's a good mm-hmm. time to come by the nursery and look at them and see.
Right.
We have some of the Freeman Eye varieties of maple. Mm-hmm. Freeman Eye is a genre of red maple, which is a hybrid between a silver and a red maple. Mm-hmm. It shares the attributes of both of them, really, but hopefully none of the negative points of the silver maple. Mm-hmm. But they have a very kind of an aggressive root system, which is good for a maple tree because they tend to get, in a drought, they tend to stress out a little bit. So if you have a real heavy root system, they tend to be able to tolerate that a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And it has the strength of the red maple on the top and kind of a moderate growth rate. In other words, they don't grow so fast that they turn into a toilet paper tree.
Right.
If you know what I mean? Real fast and good for nothing but that. So they do make a pretty good moderate hardwood tree, too.
Right.
So we have some of those. They're showing color right now at the nursery, too.
Okay. Any other trees that are showing color at the nursery right now?
Pistache. The Chinese pistache is starting to show some color. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a newcomer, somewhat of a newcomer to this area. It's been around for 20 years. It'd be a newcomer.
Right.
But anyway, they're starting to exhibit some color, too. So I've got one in my front yard that I dug up out of the backyard. It's a male mm-hmm. plant that came up on its own, and it's starting to turn. Last year it didn't do anything. It was ugly. This ugly muckety dung color, my wife would say, a muddy color. But this year it's turning a pretty red color.
And you would recommend this one for people for their yards?
I do like it because I don't have surface roots around it.
Okay.
Whereas on the maples, I do because I don't have any soil. It's like the surface of Mars.
The surface of Mars, wow.
And the pistache tree has developed a very deep root system.
Okay.
So it survived very well, and the roots are down deep. There's no problem with the mower bouncing all over the place.
Right.
When I get over it. They're going to do something about that this spring. But anyway.
Right.
So it's a very good tree in potentially difficult situations, but it does like good drainage. If you do have a situation where you want some color and your drainage is fair to Midland, a pistachio is not your tree.
Okay.
You would want to go with a red maple because of their tolerance of low-lying areas. They are native to lowland areas, typically. They're also called the swamp maple, is another term for the red maple.
Okay.
Because they do grow in lowland areas quite well. And that explains the shallow roots, because typically in a lowland area, the soil down deeper is somewhat anaerobic, and the root system cannot typically grow in an anaerobic condition because they respire, as do we.
Mm-hmm.
So they rot. So
I think it is a living being, right? It should respire at some point.
What's that?
The tree? You said it respires just like us, so yeah it should.
But the roots do.
Oh, the roots do.
Yeah, they consume oxygen and give off carbon dioxide. Mm-hmm. Not to the degree that the top gives off oxygen and consumes carbon dioxide,
mm-hmm.
but they do because there's no light right there. Down in the root system.
Right.
And for them to multiply and so on, you have to have some type of metabolism going for that to happen. And in the absence of light, it has to use kind of what we do and use sugars and stuff to grow. So.
Right. It's cool.
Oh, your lesson in botany. Today.
Yeah, my botany.
Lesson in botany.
All right, now it's time for the first exam. What?
So that's kind of why that's why the maple trees typically have a shallow root, because over the years they have developed this, their genetics have followed a shallow anaerobic soil.
Mm-hmm.
So cool.
That's cool.
So anyway, oak trees are a little different story. Your pin oaks, kind of the same way. They're somewhat shallow rooted, as is your willow oak. Your pin oak and your willow oak share the same characteristics, in other words. Branching structure, growth structure, and tolerance of conditions and so on, and intolerance of some certain conditions, too, between the two. But they're native to lowland areas like that.
All right. And we're talking with Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb, on the Green Country Gardener program this morning. It is 8:20. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Larry.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals. And Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages, and you've got generator for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses. So we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast No Water Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
Fall is finally here, and it's time to start thinking about your fall planting. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of trees, shrubs, mums and pansies. And mums and pansies are in various colors. Want to have a beautiful lawn in the spring? It's time to sow fescue seed now, and Green Thumb has the best seed around. Five-star blend fescue seed. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 on Sunday.
Make your home stand out from the rest with a new look that Groves Fine Woodworks and Remodeling can give you. They're contractors that offer bathroom and kitchen remodeling, trim carpentry, custom cabinetry, and hardwood refinishers. Voted best custom cabinetry of 2018 and offering veteran, firefighter, and law enforcement discounts. That's Groves Fine Woodworks and Remodeling. Call today for your free estimate, 918-214-6348.
Hi, this is Jim Curd and Landon Curd of Dink's Pit Barbecue. And this Monday, all day at Dink's Pit Barbecue, we are having an event to raise money for the Bartlesville Athletic Director, Spence Rigdon, who has been diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer.
Proceeds from that day's sales will go to the Rigdon family,
which we pray will make a difference in the lives of this great Bartlesville family.
So stop by Dink's this Monday and be a part of helping support the Rigdon family.
Yes, Oktoberfest. There's just a week left of October. Here comes November.
And as with it comes the kind of nasty weather.
Yeah,
but
that happens. It's a season. It happens here.
Yeah, it's true. It does happen here. And, of course, we've been talking a little bit about trees and fall color, as well as the weather and what people need to do with their irrigation systems as we get closer to some icy conditions. And, of course, if you have any questions for Larry Glass this morning, feel free to call us, ask them your questions, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Again, that's 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Larry, while we were taking our break, we did get a call.
That's a bunch of numbers. You can just about push buttons on the phone no matter what, and you get your radio station.
What kind of algorithm is this? We're going to go ahead and take the call. Good morning, caller. How can we help you on the Green Country Gardener?
Good morning.
Good morning.
You guys sound like you're having fun. I always enjoy your show.
Too much fun.
Hey, I was listening to Larry talk about what you got to do to get your sprinkler system ready for winter.
That's correct.
I have a drip irrigation system,
uh-huh.
And I'd like some advice on what I should be doing about that.
Drip systems typically are polyethylene in nature.
Yes.
So probably the most thing you really need to do is just disconnect it from the hose. That's what I do with mine. I've got one all the way around the house, and all I do is unhook it from the hose and don't worry about it. And I've had it for 10 years and haven't had a problem with it.
Well, what about the not sure what you call them, the little 1 gallon per minute I think it's 1 gallon per minute or 2 gallons or 3 gallons or whatever. A minute emitters at the end of each line where it drips onto the base of the plant.
Yeah. Now, are those low to the ground, or are they on uprights?
Well, most of them are low to the ground, but I also had them going up to where I've got hanging baskets and stuff like that.
Okay. Typically, the emitters don't hold much of any water on a drip system. However, okay. If they are in a situation where they do hold water, you might consider running some compressed air through it. Through your system,
right.
And that will for sure get it out. So,
well, I noticed that this is my second year to have this installed, and I noticed that some of the emitters didn't flow, and I was just wondering, what can I do to prevent that from happening?
Okay. Are the emitters easy to remove?
No.
Okay.
You can, but, it's a bit of a pain.
Yeah. You've got some particulates in the soil. If that's a persistent problem, you might check out the filter on your drip system and see if it's if it's corrupted or plugged up or if there's a lot of stuff in it, or maybe even if you can find a finer mesh, perhaps. But that sounds like something's gotten past there and gotten stuck in it somehow.
Okay, you're talking about the filter back at the hose bib that's connected to the timer.
Exactly.
And, is there any service that you can do to the timer to that control unit?
If you have a timer that you connect to the hose itself on the faucet, you will want to disconnect that and shake it dry and put it away, put it in the house somewhere or something. You might pull the battery out of it, too. Sometimes the alkaline battery will leak. I've had that problem with mine. The battery will leak and it'll corrode all the insides out. This is off to the store to buy a new one. But anyway, so you might want to pull the batteries on that as well.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Taking care of that then next year. Appreciate
it. All right.
Have a great day.
All right. Thank you for calling. Yes, the drip systems are a very efficient way to water because they address the water specifically to given areas rather than a irrigation system that just distributes water evenly over the entire area. So we did one last week, did a drip system.
And, okay.
So they're pretty simple to do, if I can do it.
You got this, Larry. I believe in you.
But anyway, so we were talking about the trees that have a fall color and the dogwood tree. Don't forget about that one. Mm-hmm. That exhibits some really, really good fall color. And they're starting to color up. I've got one in my backyard right now. My salvaged dogwood is doing quite well. It's as tall as the roof of the house. The thing has really grown.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, and the trunk is as big around as your leg right now.
My leg specifically?
My leg. Okay. But anyway, so it's really taken off. And I haven't done much of anything to this plant, really. It's done very well. Yeah. So anyway, so dogwoods are showing some color. Burning bush, really exhibiting a lot of color for your shrubs. The dwarf nandinas, we'll put on quite a show here pretty soon. Dwarf nandina is one of my favorite landscape plants because it stays relatively small, and if it gets too big, you just snap it off, and it comes back real nice. So they're very very versatile type plant, and I use them quite a bit in the landscape. Number one, because they tolerate the dryness and the wetness and the coldness and the heatness. and animals don't like it and so on. So it's a really good plant for a small little plant with some seasonal color. We have a caller.
We do. Good morning, caller. You are on the Green Country Gardener. How can we help you this morning?
Hi, I was calling again about our garage sale that's happening at 4313 Fleetwood Drive. Our sign was removed somewhere off of Highway 75 in Prince Phillips. So anyway, we are still there, and it's from right now. It's going on right now until about 3 o'clock, and we have added some furniture, a bookcase, and some other things in addition to the Christmas decorations and things of minimalist clothing that we reported yesterday. And if they would like to call and see if we're still there, you know, later on, I can give you my phone number. It's 918-260-0904.
904. Okay, I do want to let you know this is actually the Green Country Gardener Show. We won't have consumer calls for another 30 minutes or so, so we do apologize for that. But if you have, if you want to call in again to the show and list your garage sale then, feel free to do so, okay?
Okay, I'm so sorry.
It's
thank
okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You have a good day, ma'am.
Thank you. Okay.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well,
that tends to happen every now and then. Do you have any garage sales with trees at the nursery?
I already have a garage, so I don't need a garage. So why would I want to buy another garage?
That's fair.
Who would want to sell the garage?
You just put more of your things that are overcrowded in your current garage and just put them in that garage. I don't know. Whatever you're feeling like on the Saturday, Larry.
Then you have an item sale, yes.
I think we have another caller. Right, we're going to try this one. We'll see what happens here, Larry. It's kind of a guessing game. Good morning, caller. You're on the Green Country Gardener. How can we help you?
Hi. I'm having a real hard time getting rid of some kind of a real broadleaf weed that's in the backyard.
Uh-huh.
I did put some weed and feed treatment on it about 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
It doesn't seem to have affected it.
Yeah.
So is it getting too cold to put another treatment on, or do I need to wait till spring? Or is there some other thing that I should put on it? Because it's prolific.
Like, could you describe?
I don't know what it is, but well, there's a lot of it out there.
I can help you if you could describe the shape of the leaf.
Well, it's really big. It's like the leaves are 6 inches at least long, and they're long and narrow, and then get narrow pretty quick. And they kind of have lines in them.
It sounds like plantain, which has a very deep, heavy root, and it is a perennial.
I figured it must.
It is a perennial plant. So it's going to be tough to get rid of because of its heavy root.
Yeah.
So do you have any good grass there around the plant? Or is it
not very much.
Not very much.
Because the weeds have gotten so bad in there.
Yeah.
There's not much grass.
Okay. As far as an herbicide is concerned, depending on the plant, I don't know. It just sounds to me like plantain, which is typically does very well in a drier climate. Anyway, because it does have a heavy root system, it can be tough to get rid of. So the broadleaf weed killer would probably be the best way if you want to be selective about it. If you don't want to be selective about it, the Roundup will work on that also. However, we're running out of time. It's getting too cool for any one of those to really be effective.
That's what I was afraid of, you know.
Mm-hmm. So you have a plant with
They said Monday it's going to get up to 70, so if I was to be able to get it on there Monday morning, would it have time to do a little effect?
Yeah, it'll probably transmit pretty good. So you might try just a broadleaf weed killer would be my first bet on that.
And what do I buy that's broadleaf?
Trimec.
I don't know about that.
Trimec would be a good one.
Trimec?
T-R-I-M-E-C, yeah. Typically, the bottle in which Trimec is contained has a picture of a dandelion on it.
Yeah. So, do they sell that in a lot of places?
It's pretty common. It's available about anywhere. You can get it in a 55-gallon drum at the feed stores, or
I don't want that big of
a that big yard. Okay, or you can get it in.
I'd have to carry it somewhere. I can't do that.
We have it at the nursery too, in a little quart bottle, and we've got it in a
Is that something that you mix in water with in your sprayer?
We got mixing water. We also have a, I think we still have left some hosing application where you just connect a hose up to it and spray it.
Oh.
Which would be one efficient way to do it.
It's so far away from the house that I think I would probably be easier with the mix and spray on the jug, you know.
Yeah, that's universally available, so.
Okay.
All right, good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Oh, hey, are you still there?
Yes.
So if I don't get rid of it in the spring, when do I start to treatment again in the spring? When it starts getting the temperatures in the daytime 60 degrees again?
Exactly.
Or do I wait later than that?
The time in which it grows rather quickly would be the best time to do the controlling. And that's usually end of April, 1st of May, around there.
End of April or 1st of May?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling.
And again, if you have any questions you want to ask Larry Glass about your gardening needs or what needs to happen in the lawn as of now in October, feel free to call us at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Again, those numbers, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. It's 834. We're talking with Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb, and we'll be right back with more of your Green Country Gardener.
Peter's True Value wants to remind you it's time for fall lawn care. Reseed your lawn now with Phil's Mix. Phil's Mix is a blend of 10 different varieties of fescue grass that grows in the sun and even in the shade. Start reseeding your lawn today with Phil's Mix. Only available at Peter's True Value in Dewey. Stop in today for all your lawn and garden needs at Peter's True Value, 1865 North Osage and Highway 75 in Dewey. Open Monday through Friday, 8 till 7, Saturday, 8 till 5, closed Sunday. Peter's True Value. Behind every project is a True Value.
Hi, this is Brian Ballard with Broman Chevrolet Buick in beautiful Independence, Kansas.
We have a fantastic selection of new and used vehicles, including GM certified. Just head north and watch your prices go south at Broman Chevrolet Buick in Independence, Kansas. At Broman Chevrolet Buick, you do not have to pay extra taxes. You only pay in Oklahoma where you live. We will treat you the way you want to be treated at Broman Chevrolet Buick in Independence, Kansas, where we're making car buying fun again. You can reach us at 620-331-4700 or 24/7 online at RomansGM.com.
Now's the time to get your vehicle ready for winter and those holiday trips. See David or Anita Miller at ABS Performance and have your vehicle checked for antifreeze and have them check your heater too. Don't get caught out in the cold. Be safe and have ABS Performance winterize your vehicle before you leave town. Call today, 918-333-4420 for your appointment. That's ABS Performance on Price Road across from the Washington Park Mall. ABS would like to thank their customers for their loyal patronage.
How many times this week have you asked, what's the forecast for tomorrow? Well, just call the Weatherline Forecast Service, 918-336-2900, and find out. You get the forecast, plus the time or temperature from the studios of News Talk 1400 K1. Weatherline Forecast Service brought to you by Oklahoma Wesleyan University and by the Stump Funeral Home and Crematory. We update the Weatherline as the forecast changes, so you're always up to date. So put the numbers in your phone and call 918-336-2900.
What a glorious time, October. And speaking of glorious things, we have the Green Country Gardener Show happening right now on our airwaves on this Saturday morning. If you have any questions you want to ask us, Larry Glass and I, feel free to call us at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We've already fielded a couple calls. And Larry, what's happening in the lawn this week?
Should you fertilize your lawn now? Fescue lawns can be fertilized right now at this point.
Okay.
We've had some really good weather, so there's moisture in the ground, and we got more weather coming on, looking at the forecast. Thank you. Jeez.
I don't think that's my schedule.
Get out of town. So it'd be a good time to give that fescue lawn some fertilizer, too. I would go with somewhere around a 16-8-8, those kind of numbers. Not too heavy on the nitrogen, just enough to make it a nice dark green color. And one that has some iron in it, too, which would help darken the color and make your sidewalks a pretty orange color, too, if you get it on them. Anyway, so that's what we do as fescue lawns right now. We have a color?
We do have a color.
All right. Put them on.
Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the green.
How you guys doing?
Good. Yeah. Yourself?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm doing good. Thank you. I had a question. It's kind of a general question. For the people that have greenhouses, what is a good temperature and humidity level to try to stay consistent throughout the entire year? Or do you want to fluctuate, or not fluctuate it, but obviously you'll run a little bit warmer in the winter and a little cooler in the summer, but do you have any insight on that?
Well, as far as the temperature is concerned, it depends on what you're growing and what stage of growth you want those plants to be.
Well, and see, that's the tricky part, is there's going to be a wide variety and probably some stuff that shouldn't really be in the same climate. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like some tomatoes and some aloe vera, you know, or aloe plants.
Right.
Or whatever. Just, so that's, I was wondering if there's maybe like a happy medium.
At the nursery, we keep, we've been doing this for, golly, since the 80s. I hate to admit that. But anyway, the nighttime temperature, we keep it at 55.
Oh, really?
As a low. And then during the day, whatever the sun comes in, we keep the day at a maximum 65 to 70. And so... right around
the humidity, probably around 50% or
50% at a minimum. The humidity is typically regulated by the floor. We have a gravel floors, which keep the moisture levels up pretty good in there too. So you do want some pretty good humidity, so your plants don't tend to dry out too much.
Right, and that'll help you in the watering of not having to constantly water every day. Right.
Exactly. It does help on that a little bit too, but. So
you actually let the temperatures drop down to the 50s at night.
55 degrees is the lowest we want to go, yes. Is
there any reason why you wouldn't run a hotter temperature all day long?
Yes.
Just out of curiosity.
Poinsettia season.
Okay.
We do want to raise it up a little bit for poinsettias.
That way it gets them to really get hardy and
They don't like it cool. They tend to, the leaves tend to turn yellow, and they tend to wilt a little bit when it gets too cool. So we have to keep the temperatures up for those plants in particular.
Okay.
And when the sales are done with the poinsettias, typically we go back down to 55. So 60 to 65 at night for warm season plants, if you will. And then
okay. And are you with the Green Thumb?
Uh-huh.
Out on Knowwater Road?
Yep.
Last year I was in there. You guys actually house people's plants during the wintertime, correct?
Oh, yes, we do.
And I've seen the biggest aloe plant I have ever seen in my life. It was huge. You know what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
A great big one. But that inspired me to grow mine out. So I've been working on that since I saw that one. But all right, I appreciate your guys' time. And have a great afternoon.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yes, aloe vera plants can get rather large. They're easy to grow, and they have good medicinal value, too. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we're talking about lawns.
We were, and you said it's a good time to fertilize, I think, fescue.
Fescue grass, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're out of time to do fescue seed. It's not too late, though, to put down fescue sod. You can do fescue sod anytime, with the exception between June and September.
Right.
Because it's just too hot. It won't establish. It's not growing. It'll sit there. It'll turn to hay. So, been there. But anyway, fescue sod can be established, and we do have a couple of fescue sod projects on tap.
All right.
So, we got a caller.
We do. We're just kind of flooding in today, aren't they? Good morning, caller. You're on the Green Country Gardener.
Yeah, hi. I've got this tree. I think it's a tree that started to grow in my little area where there's like, you know, the flower bed or whatever,
right. Uh-huh.
In front of the house and where the bushes are.
Sure.
And I keep trimming it back, and it just keeps on growing faster and faster. Do I just yank it out of there, or what do I do?
If you were to cut it down below the point where the root turns into a trunk, chances are you will control the tree.
Is that beneath the soil?
Yeah, beneath the soil level.
Okay. I appreciate it.
All righty. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, that'll usually wipe them out, but that's not true with ailanthus, which is called the tree of heaven. It'll come up if you leave a fraction of the root in the ground.
Just a fraction.
And the Brissonettia or the paper bark mulberry is another one that'll come up from the root too. So there are a few that will survive. He didn't mention the species, but and in general, for the most part, the red buds and the pecans, the ash and the maple are bad about coming up in people's beds. So those typically can be controlled by a subterranean cut.
All right.
Okay, cool. Now, as far as fertilizing is concerned, we talked about that. If you don't have any rain coming on, you want to go ahead and water that in real good. Mm-hmm. You don't want to over-fertilize, too.
Okay.
And when it comes to fertilization, maybe a fall fertilization of your shrubs, if they've not really been too hardy or healthy or very attractive this summer. And it's very important. I was at somebody's house, and she had all these shrubs around her house, and they were looking kind of sickly. Mm-hmm. And I pulled back the mulch and noticed fertilizer piled up right next to the trunk. And they go, whoa, this is what happened. Who fertilized your shrubs? I did.
Right.
I said the fertilizer needs to be distributed generally out away from the tree. If you put it, you can't absorb it right there on the trunk, number one. And number two, chemical served fertilizers or a salt. And it will damage the trunk of it. It will put right on the trunk close to the, I see this done so many times. They put it right at the trunk of the tree. Well, that's a definite no-no. The roots that take up fertilizer are further away and out at what we call the drip line, out and beyond the drip line of the plant. So that might seem a little odd, fertilizing something 3 feet away from the trunk, but that's where the roots are that draw up the nutrients. So it'll benefit from that. So fertilize out away. That's what the fertilizer bags typically don't have instructions on. They tell you how much to put on, mm-hmm. when to do it, what to do before and after, but they don't tell you where to put it.
It's like, thank you for buying the fertilizer.
Yeah.
good luck. Send you out into the world.
So putting it out away from the tree is very important. And it's number one. Number two, it's very important to, and this is her, in her case, she didn't water before, mm-hmm. to water it before, fertilize it, and then water it after, so it'll diffuse into the soil.
Right.
So it's not that, it's not exactly rocket science.
No, not particularly.
But it's just knowing where to put the fertilizer. It's very important. And generally, at my house, on my beds, I just walk right along them, just shoot it on out, just distribute it evenly over the whole area. Mm-hmm. The shrubs do great. So a general application, not a specific application of fertilizer on your trees and shrubs. And it's maybe a little bit past time to fertilize in the fall.
Okay.
But it depends on what happens with the weather. But anyway, typically just do the entire bed, not just individual plants.
So if we do have that wintry mix that's kind of forecasted for earlier in the week, next week into like midweek, would you say it's probably a bad idea to do it? Or
it depends on the plant. Okay. If you have holly plants or something and you have plants that look kind of sickly, if they're kind of yellow and whatnot, yeah, I would go ahead and do something like that. It really, because they're not overly actively growing in the wintertime, they really won't utilize it very much. It'll at least get it into the zone where it needs to be. Mm-hmm. And that typically doesn't take 3 months. So,
right.
So you might want to wait till spring.
Okay.
Perhaps to fertilize at this point. Fertilization for your fall fertilization typically takes place in August and early September.
All right. And again, we're talking with Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb out at Green Thumb Nursery. Of course, you're listening to the Green Country Gardener program right here on the program on this Saturday morning. It's 8:47. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more with Larry Glass.
Fall is finally here, and it's time to start thinking about your fall planting. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of trees, shrubs, mums and pansies. And mums and pansies are in various colors. Want to have a beautiful lawn in the spring? It's time to sow fescue seed now, and Green Thumb has the best seed around. 5-star blend fescue seed. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Water Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 on Sunday.
Don't paint yourself in a corner. Call LPL Painting and Company, professionally painting in the Bartlesville area for 20 plus years. All finishes, all surfaces, perfection corner to corner. You'll find their portfolio online or on Facebook. LPL Painting and Company, that's LPL Painting and Company, fully insured, offering free estimates. Just call 918-214-1999 for consult and estimate.
The most important feature in a window is trust. So go with a name you know, Anderson, the time-proven choice found in more homes than any other. And Anderson is the brand rated by builders as the most weather-tight, highest quality, and most durable. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson, the most trusted name in windows. See Anderson Windows and Doors at Overly Woods Lumber Company on No Water Road in Bartlesville.
Listening to the radio, driving in your car. Radio gets results.
Hi, this is Danae Fitzsimmons with Grace Automotive in Bartlesville. Since advertising on KWON Radio, we've experienced an increase in business. Radio gets results.
Radio.
Yes, Oktoberfest.
Give October a good send-off, yes.
Yes, definitely. We're getting pretty closer to November, as we've discussed throughout the morning. And, of course, if you have any last-minute calls you want to make to Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb, the number to call is 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Oh, goodness gracious.
Right now, roses are the things we need to talk about a little bit.
Okay.
What to do with them right now? Well, not a whole lot.
Okay.
Maybe shape them up a little bit. Look for problems with the conflicting wood. Look for that rosette's disease. The rosette's disease has just been terrible. It's just messed them all up all over town.
Okay.
And we've replaced a lot of roses because of that rosette's disease. And it's spread by a mite.
Okay.
A mite is a little arachnid that goes from one plant. It's carried by birds and other animals, too. So. Mm. So.
Just the mite?
Yeah, just... The mighty mite, yes.
The mighty mite. The rosette disease.
So anyway, so it's tough to control. You can use you can do a mite control program, but still, as soon as they start chewing into that plant, the virus goes into the plant, and it kills it off.
Yeah.
So it takes a while. It's kind of a sad thing, but anyway, it sort of knocked out the knockouts for the most part. However, I wouldn't give up on them really. You can plant them again, and chances are they'll last a few years before you have much of a problem. And I have found that if you put the roses in an area that doesn't tend to get too hot, in other words, keep them away from structures, keep them away from the hot midday sun.
Mm-hmm.
Those are conditions that mites particularly like.
Right.
They migrate away from cooler areas because their metabolism requires a warm environment. And that's the problem with North Alberta spruce on the west side of the house. People plant them on the west side, they just cringe. Because the heat in the spring really brings on the mite population, just increases exponentially, and you just don't know there's something wrong until it happens on that particular plant.
Right.
So, and it's kind of the same thing with roses. They can get this mite infection, and it can cause the rosette disease rather quickly. So... It's something that we're just going to have to live with for a while. They are coming out with some more disease-resistant plants. Now, well, one plant I've seen that hasn't been affected yet is the Julia Child Rose. It's very disease-resistant.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen one yet that has rosettes.
Right. And how do you think you could prevent this disease from further happening other than just making plants that are more disease-preventative?
A concerted effort to control mites.
Okay.
That is typically a neem oil application. Probably once a week or so, or a miticide, if you will, or a light summer oil would work rather well to keep them under control. Mites are a tough one to control.
Mm-hmm.
They're not insects; they're arachnids.
Mm-hmm.
Pyrethrins work rather well on them too. The synthesized and the natural pyrethrins and pyrethroids, like the deltamethrin, bifenthrin, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah,
they do a pretty good job also, but you have to be consistent with it. Mm-hmm. You can't just spray it once and be done. You have to do it over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So anyway, that's the kind of deal with roses right now. They usually bloom between rather nicely between now and Thanksgiving, and after that they sort of put her to bed for the winter. It's time to do the pruning, the winter pruning on your roses too. After that happens,
right.
So that's it with roses. Birds and wildlife, it's almost time to put out the bird feeder to help the birds survive the winter. keep that bird bath full also. It's going to get dry. December, January is our driest month of the year, actually.
Yeah.
And the birds are flying around everywhere trying to poke through the ice on the Caney River to get water, and it doesn't always happen.
Right.
So, but they can get, so some water will help them out a whole lot. I keep a couple of waterfalls, little tiny waterfalls going in my backyard all the time. I usually get a bunch of birds over there drinking the water out of the bird bath or out of the waterfall. So right. It's kind of fun to watch that.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool, especially when it's cooler conditions and you have the colorful birds out there. You know. Yeah.
In the vegetable garden, time to dig your sweet potatoes, get those pumpkins harvested if you haven't already, winter squash, remove the green tomato plant fruit, and when the frost threatens, which looks like it might happen this week, you might get cold enough to wipe them out. So if you want to enjoy fried green tomatoes, that's the time to do that.
Yeah.
And on your tomatoes, make sure you remove all the top growth on it. Just throw it away because it, unless you've got a real hot compost pile, it does tend to carry over diseases that you might have had this summer to the next year. So you want to, as much as possible, rake the ground and get all the loose debris off of that and bag it up and put it in.
Right.
Or compost it in a very hot compost bin.
Right.
And again, so anyway, we had not as much problem with tomato problems this year that I really have come across with people. They've had a pretty good year on tomatoes. So if we have weather where it didn't get to be 100 this summer,
yeah. I think it did, maybe for a little bit there in August, but for the most part it was pretty tame.
Yeah, it's one of those non-100 winters, really.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember years ago, 103 degrees for 100 days. Oh my goodness.
No, thank you.
It was in the late 70s.
Mm-hmm. Man.
Yeah, you probably weren't around then.
No, I was.
that was pretty
My
hot.
Time wasn't until the mid-90s.
So, yeah, that's it with vegetable gardens and other things. Got to take a break in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
The tree of the month, the shrub of the week is the burning bush.
The burning bush,
those
yeah.
are the ones that are burning a really bright red color right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're very easy to grow. They like sun. The part sun, they even grow in the shade quite well. They the more sun, the better the color on them, and they're going to be coloring up real, real soon right now if they haven't already in some cases. And we had a relatively mild summer, so we're going to have some good color on the burning bush this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to grow.
Right.
However, give it room. Mm-hmm. Don't put it too close to the house because it will outgrow the space rather quickly and become a pest. So they do very well, say, up against a fence or something or along the property line or as a specimen interest type plant in the garden. I have one in my backyard trained up as a tree. It's about, right now, about 8 feet tall, and it's fairly close to the house, but it's far away enough to where it can develop real nicely. Mm-hmm. And it's starting to show some really good color.
And I think you mentioned earlier, too, they're pretty easy to maintain. All you have to do is, like, snap it off and
That's for the Nandinas.
Nandinas? Okay. My apologies. I thought you said that for the burning bush earlier.
Don't apologize. It's okay. But the burning bush won't snap very easily. It's kind of a tough plant.
Okay.
In school, we call them winged euonymus because the burning bush has this little wing on the stem,
mm-hmm.
this odd bark growth on it. It comes out in a vertical plane,
mm-hmm.
A bit like a wing would come out on an airplane or something. So it's called winged euonymus also.
It's awesome. And, of course, we're talking with Larry Glass. We do have to take one more break, and we'll be right back. We'll wrap up the show here in a little bit.
Okie doke.
From the time Frank Phillips completed his magnificent lodge home at Willow Rock in 1925 until Jane's death in 1948, they entertained the rich and the famous from all over the world. Their guests included wealthy business legends such as John D. Rockefeller and Henry Sinclair, politicians such as President Harry Truman and President Herbert Hoover, entertainers Rudy Vallee, Will Rogers, and Rubinoff, famous authors such as Edna Ferber, pilot Wiley Post, Elliot Roosevelt, son of President Roosevelt. The list goes on and on. As we look back on the parties and the stories and the deals that were being done at the lodge, we realize that it truly was the Great Gatsby of the Midwest. To most of Frank's guests who were visiting from the East or West Coast, and many times from Europe, they were truly seeing a glimpse of the Wild West that they had heard so much about. While in fact that era was long over by then, Frank Phillips loved the history and wanted to do everything he could to make sure that his guests received their money's worth during their visit to to his lodge and to Willow Rock. With that in mind, it was not unusual for a carload of his guests to arrive at the gates of Willow Rock in their large black sedans and be stopped by masked bandits on horseback, taken from their cars and robbed of their wallets, jewelry, and purses, and then sent on their way by the thieves. What those guests didn't realize is that these were employees of Frank's who hurried back to the lodge on horseback, arriving well ahead of the cars. When the guests arrived at the lodge and burst into the house, telling their wild and terrifying story to Frank, he would smile and point to the table in the living room where the stolen loot was on display, compliments of Uncle Frank. Once their blood pressure had returned to normal, they too enjoyed Frank's welcome to the ranch joke. They came to see the Wild West, and Frank Phillips obliged in true Oklahoma fashion. And they left Willow Rock with stories that likely got bigger and bigger and bigger over the years. That same magic continues still today at this national treasure. Welcome home to Willow Rock.
And we're back with Larry Glass on the Green Country Gardener, closing out the show. Larry,
hey, Gigi, come by the nursery and check out our mums.
Yeah.
And learn something about mums.
And burning bushes.
Aloe vera plants and burning bushes and mandinas. Yeah. Anyway, we've got a lot of stuff to make your yard beautiful and a lot of mums and things. Mm-hmm. Pansies, golly, oh, they're coming into vogue. They're really, really a beautiful plant. They give you color all summer, all winter long, rather. And to plant them, you want to keep your shovel sharp. We'll see you next week.
Yes, sir. We'll see you.
Do you know your Medicare rights and responsibilities? Call Phoenix Insurance and find out. 918-336-5400.